Well, you guys in California get rattled all the time, don't you?
Yeah, the San Andreas Fault comes right down through the foothills and through the valley and out to the Pacific there, in San Francisco. And so there's plate shifting around all the time. Every few years we have something. I had just a couple little things come to me today from the message, and one of them is Mark mentioned King Uzziah. And what came to my mind was in the book. Oh yeah, I unmuted me. Okay. In the book of Isaiah, it says, "In the year King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord." Now the name or the word Uzziah means self-strength. In the year self-strength died, I saw the Lord. That's an admonition to every one of us. When our self-strength dies, that's when we're going to see the Lord. And I've seen it in person before. I had an uncle, my uncle Arthur, who kind of had a chip on his shoulder all his life. And a lot of people didn't like him. And he was wonderful to me. I loved my Uncle Arthur, and he loved me too. And so he was kind of this stubborn person his whole life. And near the end of his life, he got this strange French disease. It was called like Moulin Rouge or something. I forget the name of it. But anyway, what it is it's an erosion of the sheath that all your nerves travel through down your spine. And so it really hit him hard. And I'll never forget, I went to see him in the hospital. And this stubborn man was just soft as a baby because his self-strength, for the first time in his life, had been knocked down. And I was able to talk to him about God. Anyway, and then the other thing that came to me was, when you're being ministered to by the true word of God and spiritual things, like I believe we were today, the Spirit of God should be stirring in us. And it doesn't mean that it's always got to be something about the very message that was being shared. It can be anything. I mean, God is not restricted. It could just be something God wants to show you, or maybe something God wants you to share with the other people or whatever. And I had one of those happen today too. It was totally off the subject, but I just want to read it to you. It's in the book of Hosea, and it says, "The beginning of the word of the Lord by Hosea. And the Lord said to Hosea, go take unto thee a wife of whoredoms." Now I want to ask you, whose job description does that sound like? Who got the job description of taking a wife of whoredoms? Jesus Christ did. So now you go back and read that book of Hosea, realizing this whole thing is about Christ and his bride. And you begin to see meanings you never thought of or saw before. And that's how important knowing types and shadows and all those kind of things are, because it's what makes scripture get to the place where the rubber meets the road. And you can not only understand what that scripture means, but then you got to ask, okay, how does it affect me? And then you've got to ask, okay, am I going to do that or not? So anyway, that was the second thing that came to me today. So God bless everybody. Love you guys.
Thank you, Mike.
On the book of Hosea, Mike, that you brought forth, again, it's not necessarily what Mark was talking about, although everything fits in together, right? The Lord brings it all together. My favorite verse in the book of Hosea, I want to share it with you. It's Hosea 10, chapter 10, verse 12. And listen to this one verse. Sow to yourself in righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord. And there it is right there. You know, what Mark was talking about, what the Spirit of God is saying, for it is time to seek the Lord. Break up this fallow ground, okay? Because if you don't do it, the Lord is going to do it. And better that you do it yourself, because it'll be less dramatic, let's put it that way. So it is time to seek the Lord till he come and rain righteousness upon you. That says so much in that one verse. And I'm glad you talked about Hosea.
Amen, Brother Larry. When you just shared that verse, it brought another one to my mind. And I can't remember. It seems like it was from Isaiah, but somebody can maybe help me out. But it says, doth the plowman plow all day to plant the seed? Absolutely, he does. In other words, when God is tearing up your ground, he's doing that for a reason, to plant himself in you. So Amen. Don't be discouraged when he's tearing up the ground.
Amen. Hallelujah. Yeah.
You know, we could say, Lord, haven't I had enough shaking already? You know, Lord, I'm getting up there in years. You shook me here. You shook me there. I mean, isn't it over yet? Well, it's over maybe when everything that can be shaken is going to be removed.
Eternity is a long time.
My goodness, yes.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
There are two verses that came to my mind about this. Was Matthew 10, 26 through 28, that talks about the hidden things will be revealed. And that's what the shaking is all about, so that we can have the hidden things revealed. So, as Larry was saying, so that we could prepare, we can deal with them so they don't have their eternal effect on us. So we can do, we have time. The Lord's giving us time to prepare for this. And the other one was that Mark 13:8 says that the earthquakes are going to, for nation shall rise up against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be earthquakes in diverse places. So not necessarily all along the faults and everything, but diverse all over. So I don't know if you remember a man named Jim McKeever. I think he was in California, but anyway, he went off in the wrong direction, but he wrote a book about how to prepare for an earthquake and how the people were preparing to store up. And the interesting thing was that when he built a shelf, just a shelf to store like canned goods and stuff on it, instead of just plain shelf, he put a lip on it. So when things started shaking, they wouldn't fall off the shelf. But he was believing there was coming a shaking.
You know, Connie, you mentioned about hidden things being revealed. So what God is giving the church today is the opportunity, putting those hidden things under the blood now, where they are forgotten by him, or we can wait till the day of judgment and they will all be revealed. So you can put them under the blood, or you can wait for that great day of embarrassment It's all going to be revealed. Anybody have another word to share with us? We love to hear what you have to say. I see Paul Davis is there.
Well, Brother Mark.
Hey, Paul.
I can't get my camera to work, so.
It's okay. We can hear you. We know what you look like.
Okay. You know, you mentioned Revelation 18, yeah, sorry. And I think a key verse there is verse 4. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues. For her sins have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities. And I would encourage everybody to read this whole chapter, but, you know, here's a key for us to be able to prepare for any kind of shaking of the earth, and that's to come out of the systems of men, the ways of men in their business, and etc. You know, we all have to intermingle with the world, but we don't have to be of the world. You understand? We can do the interactions that we need to, but we don't have to do it in the way of the world, because God has given to us the mind of Christ to be able to walk in this earth, not as other men. And, you know, all we have to look to is, how did Jesus conduct his life in the marketplace? What was his way of interaction with men? He didn't try to make a name for himself. In fact, he very often told people that he healed, now don't go out there and be tooting my horn. Just, you know, go and see the priests and get confirmation, etc. But in all these things, he wasn't about gathering unto himself men. Well, you remember the story of the rich young ruler, and you know, he really put the pressure on this young man and said, well, go and sell everything that you have. You know, now, is that a way to bring somebody to yourself? No, he pointed out the thing that was close to this young man's heart, was his possessions, and that's where he put his finger on that. And so, you know, we see that he was not a man pleaser. And I think that that's what we have how we have to conduct our lives, that we're not pleasers of men, not that we're thorny. You know, Brother Mike, you mentioned your uncle, you know, and we all know people like that kind of, you know, they work to make their own position, their own place, and you can't ever get a word in edgewise with them, and they're harsh, and they know it all. That's not the kind of people that God wants us to be. He wants us to be gentle. He wants us to be meek and humble. And yet, in the midst of that, we can have a fortitude of life about us that is different than the rest of the world. And so that's my thought, Brother Mark, you know, come out from among her and do not be partakers.
You know, during, am I muted? Yeah, no. During the charismatic renewal, and there was a lot of exciting things happening. You know, I read that verse to a lot of charismatic Catholics, and boy, they got very angry at me because they did not believe that they were in a place of danger. Well, that was long ago. They've probably gone back into it. I don't know what's happened to them, but that's not a place I want to be.
Yeah.
It says here, if you remain, you know, is it possible to be a son of God and be in those places? Well, yes, it is. But you know what? If you remain there, you're going to be a partaker of her plagues.
Yeah.
And that doesn't sound good to me.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
One little thing that came to my mind from what Paul Davis just said was, there's a scripture that says, if you do what you do, you know, to look good to man, you've received your reward in full. So in other words, when we do something for God, if it's for any other reason, if it's for recognition, if it's for money, if it's for power, if it's for any other thing, you've got your reward. Whatever it was that your reward was, you got it already. And no matter how good it wouldn't be much compared to the real reward. When you do something for God, do it for Him only. And you're going to get a reward in heaven that's going to be overflowing.
Yes, amen, Mike. They have their reward in full, and that's all they're going to get. And the rest of that is implied that your Heavenly Father will reward you. And you know, the reward is not just that I made it into heaven. I either made it or I didn't. So everybody gets the same thing. No, that it's more than that. I can't explain it, but it's going to matter throughout eternity what you are and who you are and what you have become and how much of the kingdom of God is in you. You know, when I read Revelation and I see, and a mighty angel came. Well, there might be other angels that aren't quite as mighty. Why did that one get to be so mighty? You know, and to know that some of these angels aren't actually quote unquote angels. They're saints that have become great in the eyes of the Lord. Maybe that angel used to be Moses, you know.
I'd like to share something, Mark. Even before you talked, now this is going to sound kind of soulish in the beginning, but I'll end it up on a spiritual level.
Okay.
Larry and I are doing our estates and our will and this and thus. And one of the things I wanted when my time comes is, now this is soulish, but that song, I Have a Dream by ABBA. And it talks about angels coming down and it talks about meeting of the Lord. And then you said something about you had a dream. And I thought, this is interesting. He's talking about a dream. And that's what I was thinking. And as time went on into the Zoom meeting, the Lord really put in my spirit, there's going to come a time, now I don't know who, but you are going to receive a dream God is going to give you a dream and a vision. And it's going to be like yours, Mark, that you will never forget. Whoever, you know, what I'm trying to say is we have to open ourselves up to receive what God has for us, because people are going to begin to have visions and dreams, and it's going to be sent by God to share with the body of Christ, because it's going to become real, and it's by the leading of the Holy Spirit that you will show us this. And when I say you, I mean the body of Christ, because it's going to start happening. You people are going to start having dreams and visions, and it's all going to be ordained by God. And that's what I feel in my spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
There was a song that came to mind when you first started about the change that needs to take place in each one of us and the body of Christ worldwide. And it was Abba Father. And it talks about the progression of the change that the kingdom that wars within my soul, stand awaiting your victory, the kingdoms that war within my soul. And the next one is, your kingdom might rule within my soul. And the last verse is, of the kingdom, your kingdom, that rules within my soul. So it's a progression of the rulership of God in our souls. And as these things are made known to us, that we have, he's given us the time to get things right. It's a progression so that his kingdom can rule within our soul.
Thank you, Connie. Amen. Well, this has been a good meeting, and I appreciate your sharing, hearing from you. If we have nothing more, I guess we can say goodbye for today. Anyone else have anything they want to share?
Brother Mark, I was saying something.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yes, I was saying in Isaiah 38, when Hezekiah was sick, and God sent Isaiah.
What's that? Go ahead. Go ahead, brother.
The shaking. How important was Hezekiah's sickness that his healing had to shift the earth axis by 10 degrees? You understand what I'm saying? This guy was in Isaiah 38. And God said he was going to die. When God sent Isaiah to him to respond back to life, God gave a sign. God said the earth, the axis of the earth had to shift 10 degrees backward.
Oh, yeah.
What does that mean to the church?
Yeah, that was not a good sign, was it?
I don't know. Does that still affect the present air that we keep?
Amen. Does anybody have anything worth saying now? Anything else? I mean, all right.
Well, I don't know if it's worth it, but it just came to my mind about another shaking of the earth when Jesus said it is finished, and at the cross, and all that was shaken, and the graves were open, and the people that had died came out.
Well, that was quite a shaking, wasn't it?
Yes.
Think about old Pilate sitting there in his house. Oh, what's happening? That man had to be quite shaken. He was even warned by a dream, his wife.
I just want to comment. Is it comment? To contribute,
yes.
You know, by way of an answer or contribution to address what Brema has put forward, you know, whether the movement backwards of the sun is still having effect on the present earth. Yes, it is. It has effect. God has a reason. We remember that after creation, man became alienated from God. God had to introduce himself to man. And in introducing himself, there are certain things that God wanted to bring forward. One of it is how man would believe in him, to have faith in him, trust him. So the shifting of the earth is part of it. It's part of God's way of bringing us to have faith in him, to trust him. And the other aspect of it is God showing forth his power. In revealing himself, these two things, I believe, were paramount in God's mind. His creation to have faith in him, to trust him, and also to show that he is God. He is all powerful. He is the only God. So I believe that the shifting of the sun backwards is part of the ways God used to reveal himself to mankind. Praise God.
Amen. Well, praise God. Let us say goodbye for today. Let me turn the recording off.